Notice what he says here. He says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. I'm getting ready to go deep on you now. We're going to go deep, but we're going to get something out of this. Genesis chapter 2. The scripture says here in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of A Thirst for God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Thirst for God.
Growing up as a teenager, on the east side of Pittsburgh, I had the opportunity to play football. And that was my life goal, life dream. And every summer, we would have training camp. And in the training camp, we would be out there underneath the blazing sun, underneath the brutal sun, carrying 15 to 20 pounds of extra equipment, running around in the sweat from the helmet, rolling in your eyes, causing your eyes to burn. Your whole uniform was soaked with perspiration. And I remember back in those days that the coaches would call you a sissy if you wanted to go get a drink of water. Now, it's beyond my comprehension today. The thing that they tell all athletes is to make sure you stay hydrated, to make sure you drink plenty of water. But some of y'all who played back in the days that I played, when we didn't have face, no, I'm just kidding, you know that the coaches would get on you and they would tell you, get away from that water. I don't know how many times we'd be out there practicing and guys would be on the sideline, and they would go get a drink, and the coach would say, Blaze, get away from that water. Because, you know, they thought it was some type of macho thing that you didn't drink water. But I wish I played today because, you know, now you see guys holding water bottles in their hand, and they just drink the whole practice. But I remember when they finally blew the whistle, and they said that it was time for a water break. Many of us went over there, and our lips were dry, and we had cotton mouth. And I can just remember standing there, whether it was a bottle or a tank, whatever the case might be, and just drinking that water and how it felt to let that water, first of all, even before you started to swallow it, even before it started to go down your throat, just to be able to feel the cold water touch your lips and your tongue and how refreshing that was. And then to let it go down your throat and nourish the rest of your body. It was something that we desired. We couldn't wait for the time of the water break. Well, David is talking about a thirsting today. He's talking about a thirsting for God. And that the same way that the football player who only can have one or two water breaks during the practice can't wait to get to the water because he's parched, he's dry, and it's time to refresh himself, and how he looks forward to being able to go and get some of that cool, refreshing water. David said, the same way that that player desires the water, he says, I desire God. I thirst for God with everything that is down inside of me, with my whole being. I thirst for God. As we look at Psalm 42, the background of this passage is David's expression to be in this intimate relationship with God. It seems like David in this psalm has been separated from God. And this becomes clear as we look at several verses in this psalm. First of all, verse 2, it says, "My soul thirsteth for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him?" So this seems to give us some indication that David had been separated from God. As we look at verse 3, it says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where are you, God? I'm separated from you, God." And then in verse 4, he remembered the days when he would travel with the multitude back to the holy place and worship God. He says in verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept thy holy day." So David had been separated from God. And being separated from God, he knows the loneliness. He knows the emptiness. Some people say that David wrote this psalm. As you remember, his son Absalom had a coup, and he had several of his men that followed after him, and they overthrew David. And his own son, David's own flesh and blood, began to pursue David in the wilderness. And so here was David, unable to go to the house of God, unable to go to the place of prayer, unable to go to the place of worship. And as he longs for the courts of God, as he longs for the gates of God, he sits back and he says, "Oh God, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, oh God." See, I don't know how it is that, and I'm not saying that it has to be Bethany Baptist Church, but I don't know how it is that people know what it means to be in the presence of God in the fellowship. Somebody will say, "Well, you don't have to go to the church to be in the presence of God." And I agree, you don't have to go to church. But this is the place that God has told us to come to. He says in Hebrews chapter 10, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." So there seems to be a mandate to come to God's house. And when people stay away from God's house for long periods of time, it absolutely blows my mind how that they don't become hungry and thirst for the living God. And as I'm going to talk about here in a second, maybe it's because they're thirsting after the wrong things. If we are going to pursue intimacy with God, and we're going to talk about that in great detail, what it means. The first thing that we have to have is we have to have a thirst for God. Blaise Pascal, he said this, "There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person. And it can never be filled by any created thing. It can only be filled by God." And David knew what Pascal was saying, is that this vacuum, this emptiness in his heart, that he didn't crave enjoyment. He didn't crave pleasure. He didn't crave power. He didn't crave possessions. He didn't crave popularity. But what he craved was his God. In his soul, there was an emptiness for his God. And he was going to pursue God with everything that he had within him. I'm asking you today, saints, do you have a thirst for God today? Is thirsting for God on your radar? The first thing we see as we look at this passage, we see the picture of thirst. The picture of thirst. In verse 1, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after thee, O God." In Israel, there were many deer that were running around. And at certain times of the year, there was what was known as a dry season. And during the dry season, the deer would start an intense search for water to refresh and restore himself. One of the most powerful illustrations I can think of the deer thirsting, if you'll turn with me to the book of Joel, Joel chapter 1. In the book of Joel chapter 1, we see that God was judging his people. And he sent a locust plague. And this locust plague devoured all the vegetation of the land. But sad to say, it didn't stop there, because as we go on and read in verse 18 of Joel chapter 1, it says here, how do the beasts groan? So this plague not only affected mankind, but it affected the beasts. The herds of the cattle are perplexed because they have no pasture. Yea, the flocks of sheep are made desolate. O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame burned all the trees of the field. For the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of water are dried up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. We see in this passage the animals doing two things. First of all, in verse 18, it says, how do the beasts moan? What does the word moan mean? It means that they sighed because they were in pain, not only in their body, but watch this, they were in pain in their soul, that their souls were hurting, that not only did they have a neglect of moisture and water, but even their souls had been affected. And so the writer says, why do the beasts moan? They walk around and just, why do the beasts moan? They moan because they have no water. They moan because they are thirsty. And then even in verse 20, it says, and the beasts of the field also cry unto thee. They cry. They yell out that they walk around moaning. And then all of a sudden they, God! They cry out. And David says, as the deer pants after the water, Lord, so my soul pants after thee. Do you see the picture of the deer? Do you see the desperation in the heart of the deer? Do you see the cry of the deer? Do you hear the moaning of the deer? And David reaches, of all the things that he could have said, that my soul hungers, that my soul delights, that my soul desires, he picks one word in this passage, and he uses the word thirst. And why is it that he uses the word thirst? I believe one reason, because he was trying to show the desperation, that David was trying to show that if you can go 40 days without food, but you can only go a couple days without water. And he says, why, Lord, my soul thirsts for thee. What about you, my friend? Does your soul thirst for God? The picture of thirst. The deer, and then his soul. He says, let me give you two pictures of thirst. The first one is the deer, and the second one is my soul. Notice what he says here. He says, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after thee, O God. Turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2. I'm getting ready to go deep on you now. We're going to go deep, but we're going to get something out of this. Genesis chapter 2. The scripture says here in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That when God created Adam, he reached down into the dust of the earth, and he shaped and he molded Adam, and he put within Adam all of his vital organs, and he put within Adam everything he needed once he was up and gone, and his hands and his feet, and he molded and shaped that. But up until that point, and don't miss this now, up until that point, all Adam was just a big lump of clay. That's all he was. I don't know if God created him standing up or laying down, but whatever he was, laying or standing, all he was a big lump of clay. And then God comes down and blows into Adam the very breath of life. And notice what the writer records here. He says that Adam became a living soul. Watch this. That in Adam, before this was nothing. Nothing other than clay. And when God blew into Adam, that's when he took life and became animated. And that's when he was able to function. Watch this. Watch this. That's when he was able to think. That's when he was able to feel. And that's when he was able to act. Before that, he was absolutely nothing. But now he becomes a living soul. So what is the soul? The psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." What is the soul? The soul is all that is within you. I'm not talking about your liver and your kidneys. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your very personhood. And so David says, in my very personhood, in the very breath that God put in my body, that I long for God, that there's something deep inside of me that just longs for this relationship with God. And my brothers and sisters, if we are going to pursue God, then we have to have a thirst for God, the picture of thirst. Secondly, let's look at the pursuit of thirst. He said, as the deer pants after the water brooks. And I began to look at this, and I studied it in the Hebrew. And in the Hebrew, put that verse up there. Put that verse up there. I'm going to show you something. Psalm 42, verse 1. Look. As the hart pants after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. There's one word that we see in this passage two times, and that's the word after, right? After. Now, in the English, we look at it, and it's the exact same word, right? But in the Hebrew, it's two different words. The first word, after, is the word al, A-L. And you know what it means? It means, this is deep, it means to pant over. The second word, after, is the word el, E-L, and it means to pant upward. The deer pants downward. The soul pants upward. And there's a lot of people that we have taken the example of the deer, and the object of our affection is downward. We are panting after the things of this earth. We are panting after riches and material possessions. We are panting after illicit relationships. We are panting after substances to alter our state of conscience. We are panting after these things that are down here. We need to get our focus right. And we need to begin to pan upward after God. In the book of Amos, look at Amos chapter 2. Amos chapter 2. I'm pulling some old minor prophets out on you this morning now. We're going way back into the Old Testament. Amos chapter 2. And God is condemning his people because they have committed gross injustices. And they have followed after idols and gone after the wrong things. But look what he says here in verse 7. He says, they pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor. Wow. They pant after the dust. Instead of being merciful to the poor, instead of taking the way of the meek, instead of living a life that's righteous, he says, they pant after the dust of the earth. Let me ask you something. Are you panting after the dust of the earth? Is your whole day consumed with panting after the dust of the earth? From the time you get up, you are about making the almighty dollar. From the time to the time you go to bed, you are thinking about the next day and how you are going to make the almighty dollar. Amos says that you are panting after the dust of the earth. And we have taken a cheap substitute and we have put it in the place of God. I remember years ago, there was a commercial. Some of you may remember this commercial. It was a commercial for Dr. Pepper. And it was a setting in an old town where the people were dressed in some of the older clothes in an earlier day and time. And the Hunchback of Notre Dame, he was in the town square. And he was like freaking out, right? I mean, he was like going crazy. He was hollering, and nobody could bring him under control. So they were trying to figure out what he wanted. And so somebody brought him something, and he slapped it away. And this one maid, she had a ladle with some water in it, and you know, she put it up there to his mouth, and he slapped it away. And then finally somebody was wise enough, and somebody understood what he wanted. And they got a Dr. Pepper, and they brought the Dr. Pepper, and the last scene of the commercial shows the hunchback drinking the Dr. Pepper and everybody in the city dancing and having a good time and patting the hunchback on the back. And somebody, the caption on the commercial says, watch this, don't settle for a cheap substitute. Hold out for the extraordinary. Hold out for a Dr. Pepper. Well, I'm here to tell you today, don't settle for a cheap substitute. Hold out for the extraordinary. Don't feed your soul on cheap substitute. Don't feed your soul on dust of the earth. Hold out and allow your thirst to be directed towards God and not to thirst and pant after the things of the earth. The direction of the pursuit. The direction the deer panted downward, David panted upward. What was the object of his pursuit? Let's look back in Psalm 42. What was the object of his pursuit? Psalm 42, as the hart pants after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. But see, he didn't stop there. He just didn't pant after God. Because in verse 2, he goes on to give it a qualifier. He said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come before him? David wanted people to realize what he was thirsting for. And it wasn't because, you see, back in these days, if you said God, it could have meant anything. There was a whole lot of idols. There was Dagon, there was Molech, there was all these false gods that the people worshipped. And so these gods couldn't do anything. These gods were absolutely helpless. And so David said, lest anybody misunderstand that I want them to get this straight, that I am thirsting for the living God. And I don't understand why people thirst after things that can't help them. You know, why do you thirst after things that can't help you? If you were to get a piece of paper, and on one side of the paper, you put thoughts about things of the world, and on the other side of the paper, you put thoughts about God. And you went through your day, oh hallelujah, and you went through your day and you were able to record your thoughts. And if most of your day is consumed with thoughts about things of the world, then you're not thirsting after God. But you say, Pastor, I've got a job. I got to be thinking about my job. I understand that. There was a monk, Brother Lawrence. And this man, he was a godly man. I mean, he was a godly man. And he worked in the kitchen where there were all kind of people cooking. There were all kind of pans rattling. And there was all kind of things going on around him. And Brother Lawrence, he said that when I'm in the kitchen washing pots and pans, he said, my heart is as if I were at the communion table. Wow. You mean to tell me that your job is that distracting, that it takes you away from God? I understand we got to give our attention to God. I understand that we have to.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Thirst for God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Thirst for God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Thirst for God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Thirst for God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.